Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. And stand with me as we read the Holy Scriptures today. Ephesians 1, 15. For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Would you take a few moments and pray that God would help you understand this beautiful passage and would build you up and strengthen your faith in Jesus Christ? Would you please take a few moments to pray for the people in this room, the other people in this room? Pray that God would help them to understand this passage and that God would bless the word today to build them up. Would you take a few moments to pray for me that I would preach this accurately, that I would truly capture what Paul was trying to say to the Ephesian church, and therefore what the Spirit wants to say to us today. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. Edify and build up your church now. Glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Last week we looked at this beautiful, beautiful prayer, verses 15 through 19. Look at it again. For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. We learned that we are not to cease giving thanks for what God has done in our midst. Trinity Baptist Church, all you have to do is look around this room and you can see that God is at work at Trinity Baptist Church right now. And we should never cease to give thanks because he gets all the glory, he gets all the honor, he gets all the credit. 17, this is the prayer. This is how we should be praying for each other. 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. We here at Trinity Baptist Church need to be praying that God would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we could know him better. 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know, Trinity Baptist, three things. Remember, we studied this last week as we prayed through this for each other. That you may know three things. Number one, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Number two, that you may know what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And number three, that you may know what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. And I pray for you, and I hope you are praying for each other, that we at Trinity would understand those three things, that God would open the eyes of our heart, that we may understand those three things. Would you please join me in committing to praying for each other, that God would open our hearts, that we would understand those three things. The third thing is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. And Trinity Baptist Church, you need to know that God's power is at work in you, giving you spiritual life. The question is, how great is that power? The power at work in you, changing your life, giving you victory, transforming you from a sinner to a saint, giving you eternal life on that last day. How great is that power? What is that power like? And the great news today, Trinity Baptist Church, is Easter Sunday teaches us about the power at work in you. Look at the verse. Verse 20. These, that is, the power, are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might. That's verse 19 again. These, that is, the power at work in you, are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. That's the power of God at work in you. Bible scholar F.F. Bruce says this, "The death of Christ is the ultimate example of the love of God. The resurrection of Christ is the ultimate example of the power of God." Number one in your notes, God displayed His power by raising Jesus from the dead. God displayed His power by raising Jesus from the dead. Jesus Christ is alive today. He died on the cross for our sins. The song we just sang, took the blame, bore the wrath. Jesus Christ took the blame for your sin. Jesus Christ bore God's wrath for your sin. He bore all of it. There is no wrath left for the believer. He bore the wrath. And God displayed His power by raising Jesus from the dead. That is the power at work in you who believe. Are you discouraged in your spiritual life? What is the power that gives you spiritual life? What is the power that transforms you from a spiritually dead person to a spiritually living person? What is the power that will raise you from the dead someday and give you eternal life forever and ever? It is the power that God exerted when He raised Jesus from the dead. That is the power at work in us, Trinity Baptist. And the question is, if Jesus has been risen from the dead, then where is he right now? Where is he right now? Look at verse 20. I'm sorry, the end of 19 and verse 20. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Where is Jesus right now? He is seated at God's right hand. He is seated at God's right side. Please keep a bookmark in Ephesians chapter 1 and join me in Hebrews chapter 7. You will need to turn there. It will not be on the screen. Hebrews 7, 26. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, that's Jesus, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily like those high priests. He's comparing Jesus, our high priest, to all the other high priests. Who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. Because this he did, Jesus, once for all, when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son made perfect forever. Now the main point in what we have said, in what has been said, is this. We have such a high priest, Trinity Baptist. We have a great high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. That's where Jesus is now. He's at God's right side. Look at Hebrews 12 behind me on the screen. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When Jesus rose from the dead, he went back up to heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God right now. What is the significance of that? Is that an important place? Is that a special place? Or is there nothing to it other than he's just sitting there? Is it just a random seat? Or is it a special place? Look at the text today. Ephesians chapter 1. End of verse 19. Ephesians 1:19. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. What does it mean that he is sitting at God's right hand? It means that he is far above every ruler, every authority, every governor, every king, every power in the universe, both physical, human powers, and demonic spiritual powers. What does it mean that he is seated at God's right hand? It means he is Lord over everything and everyone today and in the future. Look at Philippians 2 behind me on the screen. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him, that is Jesus, the name which is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you believe that? Because that changes your life. Do you believe that the leader of Iran will bow his knee before Jesus Christ? Do you believe that the leader of North Korea will bow his knee before Jesus Christ? Do you believe that President Obama will bow his knee before Jesus Christ? He will. And that changes everything. That changes everything. Are you worried about the Iran nuclear deal? Are you worried about the enemies of the United States chanting death to America, death to America? Are you worried about ISIS? Are you worried about our dear, dear friends in Israel? Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And that changes everything. And someday he will return and take over. And what we do is we watch and we wait. And we eagerly look up. You wonder why our persecuted brothers and sisters keep believing in Jesus when their government beats them and puts them in jail and tortures them and kill them. Why do they keep believing? One simple reason. They know who Jesus is. And they know where he is right now. And they know what it means. And it's why we at Trinity Baptist are so committed to giving all of them Bibles. I want them, Mike wants them, you want them to be able to read in the pages of Scripture what I just read to you. Number two in your notes. God displayed his power by exalting Christ to his right hand as Lord of all forever and ever. God displayed his power by exalting Christ to his right hand as Lord of all forever and ever. What else does it mean that Jesus is at God's right hand? It means so many things. What else does it mean? Look at Romans chapter 8 behind me on the screen. Who is the one who condemns? Trinity Baptist Church, who is going to condemn the believer? Another believer? Are you going to condemn yourself? Who is going to condemn a believer? No one. Why? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. Who is interceding for us? We've learned what his position means. Now, what is he doing there? He is interceding for us. Interceding is the Greek word entunchano. Entunchano, it means to appeal to someone. To make a petition. It is used in the Bible of someone making a legal case in court. Christ Jesus is up there representing us. He is our high priest. He is our advocate before the Father. He is our representative. And brothers and sisters, this is so wonderful. No one can condemn you. No one can accuse you. You can't even condemn yourself because you have an advocate before the Father, and it is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Look back at the passage, please. Ephesians 1:19. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. This is the most incredible thing, Trinity Baptist. Take a look at that. God raised Jesus from the dead. God exalted Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God gave Him to the church. God gave Him to the church. That's number three in your notes. God gave Christ as Lord of all to the church as her head. What a beautiful gift to us. What a beautiful gift to us. Who are we? We are the body of Christ. He is our head. Look behind me on the screen at Colossians 1:15-18. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Jesus all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. Keep reading. Jesus is before all things. And in Jesus, all things hold together. Jesus is head of the body, the church, and Jesus is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that Jesus Christ will come to have first place in everything. Mark this well. Jesus Christ is the head of Trinity Baptist Church, not the elders. Not the deacons, not the congregation, not the Constitution. It is Jesus Christ. So the question we must ask ourselves is this. Is that what our church looks like? What would our Sunday services look like if Jesus was in charge? What would our youth group look like if Jesus was in charge? What would our children's ministry look like if Jesus was in charge? What would our calendar of events look like if Jesus was in charge? What would our women's ministry look like? What would our men's ministry look like? What would our budget look like? What would our finances look like? What would Trinity Baptist look like if we truly lived out the truth that Jesus is the head of the church? In your notes, I have a challenge for you. every elder, every deacon, every leader, and every member should be prayerfully asking God this question. What would our church look like if Jesus were truly in charge? Would you pray that with me? Would you join me in re-surrendering Trinity Baptist Church to Jesus Christ and saying, Jesus, we want you to be in control and in charge of everything we do. Amen? Please join me in praying that. Because God gave Christ to the church as her head. God gave Christ to the church as her head. And what an awesome, awesome gift that is. Keep a bookmark in Ephesians and turn with me to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus Christ has been given to the church as our good shepherd. Oh, that we would surrender to him fully as a group and follow his leading in every area of our lives, both individually and as a church, that Jesus would truly be in charge of everything we do here. What an awesome gift and opportunity we have. Jesus Christ is our shepherd, Trinity Baptist Church. Look at John chapter 10 behind me on the screen. Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus Christ is our pastor. Jesus Christ is our shepherd. Jesus Christ is our leader, and our leader, our shepherd, our pastor, is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is Lord of all. He is Lord of all. And God has given him as Lord of all to the church. And our Lord has given us marching orders. Our Lord has given us a command. Our Lord has given us a job to do. And it's in Matthew 28, behind me on the screen. This is the job he has given us to do. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Why are we afraid to do that? What would Trinity Baptist Church look like if Jesus were truly in charge? I'll tell you. We would be an army of people changing lives all around this city, all around this country, and all around the world. That's what we would look like. Will you join me in praying that Jesus would make Trinity Baptist Church His army? Do you want to be part of His army? What a great calling. What a great calling. Brothers and sisters, let's not forget Paul's point. Let's not forget Paul's point. God raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand of the throne of God, and gave him to the church. This is an example of Paul's point in verse 19 when he said, I pray that you understand what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. The power that God exerted to raise Jesus from the dead and exalt Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords is the power at work in you, giving you spiritual life. And that we can celebrate. Amen? We are united with Christ in resurrection. Look at Romans 8 behind me. On the screen. If the Spirit of Him, that is God the Father, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who indwells you. Why are we Christians? Because Jesus Christ is the only one that can truly give eternal life. He holds the keys of death and Hades. He holds the keys of death and Hades. There is no lock shop in heaven. You cannot go to Home Depot and make copies of those keys. There's only one key. He holds the keys to death and Hades, and that is why we trust Jesus. That is why Christianity is the truth. If you're here today and you haven't surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ, I say this with all the love in my heart I can muster, you are in big trouble. Because only Jesus has the keys. You're going to die someday and you're going to stand before God. And the only way to have eternal life is to be united with Jesus Christ, because He defeated death and He has the keys. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the elders will be right up here for just a few moments. Please come and talk to us. And brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist, if you need to pray with an elder for any reason whatsoever, we will be up here for a short time after the service. Tandy, can you help me out by bringing a couple women up here too? Thank you very much. If you're more comfortable praying with a woman, women will be up here too. Happy Easter. Don't be discouraged in your Christian life. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you.